Great. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for your patience this morning. I'm Maggie Gould. I'm the Planning Development Services Manager, and as the chair has recused herself from this case, I will be the chair only for this case. I also would like to introduce Kevin Morrow, who is going to be our legal counsel. And this brings us to item number 10, PR-2018-001402. SI-2020-001164, EPC final site plan sign off. Mr. Schroeder, are you the only person here from your team?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that Mike Blaskovitz is okay. Also on the call with Bohannon Houston.
Okay, excellent. If I can swear you both in then, please. Do you both swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
I do.
Okay, thank you. Ben, let's have an update on this project since we were last here.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Once again, Jim Strozier with Consensus Planning. Real quickly, I think we were deferred in order to allow time to get some additional information from various DRB parties, and we are still waiting on some of those things, although I think we have made progress, and those include the water and sewer availability statement, which I think is in the final stages at the Water Authority. Hydrology has reviewed. It sounds like we need to get some information back to them, as well as pay an additional review fee, which we will take care of. And just this morning, we received the case planner comments from Ms. Lehner, and we will, I had not seen those until this morning, so we will respond to them. I have reviewed them and they appear to be fairly straightforward. And then the other comment that we have responded to was from planning regarding the requirement to have a plat reviewed and approved prior to the site plan approval. And we have responded to that. We are not in agreement with that conclusion based on provisions in the IDO, and we've provided information and citations in support of our position on that. And I guess so, it appears that we are headed to another deferral, but I just wanted to take this opportunity to check in and see if we had any additional information regarding timing on any of these issues that will help us figure out the appropriate amount of time for that deferral. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Maggie Gould, thank you, Mr. Strozier. We did not previously have any members of the public signed up. Now would be the time for public comment. If we have anybody that wishes to sign up to speak, please do so now. I see one raised hand, I believe. Renee Horvath. I don't see anyone else. Mr. Rodenbeck, will you confirm?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Let me look real quick. This is Jay Rodenbeck. I don't see any other hands raised.
Okay. And then there's a note from Ms. Neff. Was that, Ms. Neff, did you wish to speak?
No, I'm not here to speak, but it is not posted in the chat. This item is open for discourse.
Okay, this is Maggie Gould. We'll get it updated. It just appeared right now. The next case item will be 10. So we can update the chat to show that we are currently on item number 10. And I will give Mr. Rodenbeck a moment to do that. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rodenbeck. All right. Renee Horvath, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in your comments?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And can you, so that we have it clear on the record, as people are speaking, if we can get people to say their names before they speak, please.
Okay. My name is Renee Horvath. I live here on the West Side. I'm with the Taylor Ranch Neighborhood Association and the West Side Coalition.
Okay.
So we've sent in comments and we made comments at the last DRB hearing. There's still a lot of concern about the design of the site plan is not adequate to address being right next to a wildlife preserve, a major wildlife preserve, such as the Oxbow Wetland. Usually when you have, you're placed right next to a sensitive area like that, you need to take more precautions and more buffers, more setbacks, and design it well so that we don't have future problems down the road. And I might have said at the last hearing that, you know, we live with the petroglyphs and we've seen the problems with the petroglyphs with flooding. We've seen drainage issues. We've seen erosion issues and wildlife issues and privacy issues that the neighbors have to deal with when they're backed up against the escarpment. And the areas that did the best, that are doing the best around the petroglyphs is the ones that have a large buffer and a single loaded street. And the ones that are backed up are suffering with these problems. And they are asking that the public to deal with it. They're asking Petroglyph Monument to deal with this. They're asking open space to fix these problems, which means the taxpayers have to fix it. So in this case, we're having a similar situation. This is why the public has done their due diligence to explain that you need more buffer protection along here and that it is not adequate, especially with the steep slopes and sandy bluff that you're dealing with. And the EPC just didn't seem to want to deal with this. They're punting it down to DRB, I guess, because you guys are the experts and that you'll help resolve this issue. So some of the things that that still need to be dealt with is, you know, the MAFCA drainage easement. Has that been deeded over to a MAFCA? What about the Lomer letters for map revision? Has that been done? And then there's the variance issue that of the connectivity, because if you look on this plan that you have, there's right now on the northern end, there's four entrances and they're closing off most of those. And then they're keeping the one southern entrance, but there was an appeal on that, and that variance request has not been resolved. So I think DRB is going to have to say those entrances are still going to be maintained. There's also the force main issue that hasn't been addressed because we've had engineers come to speak to that. That those systems are costly and can be unreliable and can overflow with sewage. So that needs to be addressed. But the thing I want to talk to most about is what hydrology has said is that a more prudent setback is recommended on the slope, because the slopes are unstable and that the city has no plans to stabilize this slope and does not want to be burdened with the cost of such improvements. Bank protection may be constructed to prevent lateral migration of the river and erosion of the slope. But then the next statement, it says that a prudent setback will be established to allow for future construction and bank protection by the HOA, without any encroachment on the open space property or any lots. So they're placing all this responsibility on an HOA. And from our experience, even the people back up to the escarpment, they have not been able to solve this problem. And I don't see how an HOA is going to solve this problem. So we're putting a lot, big burden on them. And I see future problems because of it. And as a result, they're going to have to fix it. And so, as well as the force main issue. So some of the comments that we did provide EPC, we did mention that there were Bosque fires that took place, and I know of two structures that burned down because of that. I know of people who said they had to evacuate because of that. I know a house that was caught on fire from one of our members, but luckily the fire department was there to put it out. So that's why I'm raising this issue with entrances on the northern end. They should not close off most of those entrances. You need that connectivity for fire escape in case there was ever a fire. The other issue, we mentioned the soil erosion issue. The wildlife problems that they'll be expected, that those people will be dealing with is a lot of, we have coyotes and bobcats and skunks and porcupines and snakes. And of course, we have those here on the petroglyphs, but they're right there next door to this wildlife preserve. So the people that are backed up are going to feel it quite continuously, and there will be a lot of, and they're going to start complaining like, city, do something. There's all this wildlife bothering us. I know people like wildlife, but not to that much wildlife. In addition, there's mosquito issues, and they're right there next to the wetlands. This is why we were promoting the 30% required open space to buffer this area. And for some reason, the EPC never dealt with it. And I think the DRB, who has more expertise, could deal with this and say, hey, look, we need to really examine this situation and deal with this. Because we can see there's going to be a lot of problems down the road. So I want to bring this up because what I'm seeing is that, well, if we just let this go, the HOA is going to be dealing with this, and I just don't see how they're going to deal with this. And are we going to let the people that are planning to purchase the properties along next to these Oxbow and on the northern end and on the southern end, are we going to tell them before they purchase this property that they're going to be dealing with these issues, be dealing with soil erosion issues that they have to maintain without impacting the wetlands? Are we going to tell them that there's fire issues and that they just can't cut down all the vegetation in the bosque to deal with that? They're just going to have to be vigilant, and hopefully their house doesn't catch fire if there was a fire, another bosque fire. Are they going to have to deal with the wildlife and they're just going to have to put up with that? Are they going to have to deal with the mosquitoes and then they say, well, we want to spray them, and say, well, wait a minute, this is a wildlife preserve. You have to be careful of how you handle that. So I numerous problems with this. This is why, all the studies that have been done along the Rio Grande, it's a Rio Grande State Park. All the discussion over the years is like, hey, we need to build sensitively next to this area. We need to need buffers, adequate buffers, and we need to, in order to protect the habitat. Also, you need to protect the people who are going to be living there. So
Ms. Horvath, how much more time do you think you will need?
Oh, just a few minutes. I'm almost done. So these are the things that we thought that the IDO had these regulations in there, but they've been waved away. But I think the DRB, needs to be responsible. The responsibility is being put upon you. that you're going to have to make some decisions, that you're going to have to correct this problem. Otherwise, the HOA, they're not going to be able to handle this. And then it's going to be up to the taxpayers to fix it. So I just think that we could have solved this problem better with a better design. That's what cluster was supposed to be about, is to be sensitive to these kind of things, and we haven't gotten there. So that's why we, the public, continuously come before you to bring up our concerns, and we'd like for the DRB to address those issues and correct the problem.
How about that road
issue? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Horvath. Let's go through board comments then, and at the end of board comments, we can discuss how the appropriate length of time for deferral.
This is Chris Gannon with the Water Authority. Hello, Jim, and hello, Mike. The availability statement 201015 is currently being processed, so we hope to have that to you soon. In reviewing the utility plan that was provided with the previous DRB hearing, I have a few comments, and the first one is providing more detail as to which sanitary sewer lines are to be removed. If you can just note that with perhaps more leaders, just to make it clear, that would be really helpful, and just labeling it fast lines to be removed. The proposed public lift station needs to be within its own property or an easement. Either way, that area needs to be sufficient in size and acceptable to the Water Authority. And please show what is being proposed. Currently show it within the cul-de-sac, and as we know, that's not acceptable due to vehicular traffic. Next, label all proposed public waterline sanitary sewer easements, both off-site and on-site. Side yard easements will not be allowed. You have a note that indicates further studies to confirm the need for a lift station or the potential use of private grinder pumps. That needs to be understood on the plat. I'm sorry, on this site plan, so that so that we have that identified, as well as on the availability statement. You know, in the previous availability statement, we had discussed the ability to include a lift station. And I have a question as to if the relocated sanitary sewer will provide the same or greater capacity than that of the existing sewer. You're obviously relocating it, and I just don't know if those grades will allow for that. And I'm asking for a cross-section along the roadway, which fronts lots 12 to 18, as well as 32 to 36, just to better understand the horizontal separation between the various underground utilities. I understand that you got some storm drain in that corridor, so just wanted to make sure. And for information only, the off-site public sanitary sewer easement will be required for connection to the existing 12-inch sanitary sewer line within Lot H to the north of Bienvenida Place. And that proposed connection is existing manhole F11593. That's all that I have. Thank you.
Mike, did you want to speak to any or make sure we're all on the same page before we leave this topic?
Absolutely. Yeah. We were wanting to look at whether or not that there was an opportunity to not require a lift station, and if there were some other options that we had available. After speaking with Chris Gustafson with the Water Authority, I don't know that we do have very many options, and so the need for that lift station is still necessary. And we'll update our site plan accordingly. In terms of the capacity of the existing sewer line, we have checked that, and that is, we are confirming that the capacity is being kept intact with our relocation, and we will provide you with information that supports that. We'll also include those cross sections as necessary, and also add some extra leaders showing the removal of the sewer line, as well as, you know, ensure that we don't have any side lot lines, and we'll respond accordingly to each one of your comments with a letter and a subsequent utility plan.
Okay, thank you. Does that conclude Water Authority comments then?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, yes.
Thank you. This is Maggie Gould. Thank you. Code enforcement, please.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. There's still several comments from the planner on her letter that need to be addressed. So, you know, we need those addressed before the zoning can move forward. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, this is Jim Strozier with Consensus Planning. We will be providing a response to each of those items prior to the next DRB.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Parks and Recreation, please.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. There were quite a few comments in the notice of decision and the staff report from the EPC case that are still outstanding from the point of view of the Parks and Recreation Department and Open Space Division. The first one would be the comment that open space would be open to discussing the dedication of acreage to the city at major public open space. We would like, I guess, maybe a clear diagram or something outlining, you know, what would be the possibility of any type of lands that may are considered for dedication that would need a more conversation with the Parks and Recreation Management and the Open Space Division. Let's see, the second one is the comment that the applicant will consult the Open Space Division on what improvements are proposed for the Namaste Trailhead. That area is concerning to the Open Space Division, especially because of the current situation with water flows and erosion in that area. And there was a lot of talk with the applicant about improving that. And we would need to see some, the plans for improving that area and the more of a detail of how that is going to be implemented. The last point is about the stand of native pinyon pines on the property. It does appear that because of the grading and drainage plan that is currently shown in the package, that it will not be able to be preserved. So we did want to have those replaced with native species. It does not necessarily have to be pinyon pine because from consultation with the city forester, it does appear that those may need more water irrigation than what might be available there. But we would want to have native species in order to continue to encourage the habitat viability. So we could provide a list of species, or you could provide some that are viable, and then we would review. And then we would need to also be consulted about placement. We may want them in that same place, or may want them in places outside of the fence if it would improve the habitat ability there. So that would be another thing to speak about. I was able to speak with the director prior to this meeting also, and there's a lot of concern about the hydrology issues and the overflow issues of dirty water if there were to be any failure of any of the proposed solutions along that northern edge. And so it may be beneficial for us to speak more closely with hydrology, but I know that their comment was to have an approved grading and drainage plan, so we would have to speak with the city engineering team to be confirmed about those issues as well. Thank you.
Hydrology, please.
Madam Chair, just if I might.
Sure.
Jim Strozier with Consensus Planning. Cheryl, I would like to, I'll reach out to you, and I think it sounds like it would be the most prudent path forward to set up a meeting with whoever from Parks and Rec and Open Space needs to be in attendance to go through these issues. And that could also include a visit on site, especially as it relates to the Namaste Trailhead and potential improvements there. And so I will, just to let you all know, I'll reach out to you and see if we can get that meeting set up so that we can go through those items and come to a path forward. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hydrology, please.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology needs an approved grading, conceptual grading and drainage plan prior to approval of the plat. A MAFCA approval is needed prior to hydrology approval. And the LOMER will be required to remove floodplain from lots that are within the floodplain. And it's not listed on my official comments, but this is in regard to something brought up by Ms. Horgath, and in also speaking with my predecessor to hydrology. Please carefully label the setbacks, the buffer between these lots and the edge of the I'm losing my train of thought here, between your development and the open space. Thank you.
Okay. Transportation.
This is Jean Wiffenberger with Transportation. Please provide roadway cross sections for all internal roadways and for Namaste and trees, gracias, including the required sidewalks on these streets. And then provide an infrastructure list for all roadway improvements, emergency access, and pedestrian access. That's it.
Okay, thank you. And we have, let's see, and did, I see that we have two raised hands. Mr. Belaskiewicz, did you have a comment regarding anything that was just said by staff?
Yes, I just wanted just a little bit of clarification from hydrology. Again, this is Mike Belaskiewicz with Bohannon Houston. Ernest, you mentioned the need for the LOMER, and I wanted to just to confirm that the need for that LOMER is not as a part of this approval, but rather tied to building permit or certificate of occupancy approval.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology, that is correct. It was put on there just as a comment that you will need that in order to develop those lots.
Great. This is Mike Blossman. Thank you.
Okay. And this is Maggie Golden. It looks like we have a member of the public whose hand was also raised. So Becky Davis, I believe you wanted to speak.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Chair and members of this group, I just wanted to reiterate what Renee said, that this will impose a great burden on our taxpayers because there will be many problems with this development in terms of erosion, fire. Where was I? Speaking of losing my place.
Go ahead.
It has fragile soils, it has sewer issues, and consensus planning is not going to be held responsible for these errors once the property is built out, but the taxpayers will be held responsible financially for traffic overflow issues, road degradation as these 69 homes come out on Coors and go north and south. It is going to be a mess in so many ways that we do not yet we have foreseen but have not tackled. And it's just not a good project to continue. Despite the 2 years that both sides have been working on this, it is still on sensitive, fragile lands that endanger already endangered wildlife. And we will suffer for it in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Okay, I don't believe I see any other raised hands from anybody. Mr. Rodenbeck, if you would also take a look at the participant list, please, and make sure that we are not missing anybody out.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I am looking. This is Jay Rodenbeck. I don't see another raised hands.
Okay, excellent. All right, so this is Maggie Gould. So we are at the point where we need to figure out the amount of time needed for the deferral.
Madam Chair?
Certainly.
I don't believe planning gave their comments.
Oh, that would be absolutely correct, Mr. Armijo. Thank you for that. So planning has basically the same comments that were provided before regarding compliance with the EPC conditions. The applicant did receive the staff planner memo, confirmation about PNM comments, landscaping note about the mature pinon trees. That was just a typo correct. The coordination with Parks and Recreation, which Ms. Sommerfeld discussed, confirmation of a MAFCA coordination and that a MAFCA approval is required prior to final sign-off, and then a statement about how the bluff area will be protected during construction, the possibility of a temporary barrier, at least 20 feet from the edge, again, to protect that edge, provide a map of the sensitive lands at the same scale of the site plan so that can be determined, and then deferring to hydrology and transportation for those issues. And once again, noting that this is under appeal and that all plans must be stamped and sealed by the appropriate professional. And that planning, the comments do include the requirement for the plat prior to the site plan approval. We did receive a memo from the applicant regarding that, and that will be discussed internally, and we will get an answer to that as soon as we can.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I would just like to consider when trying to find a date for the deferral that next week a lot of the Parks and Recreation people will be out of the office, and we would like to consult with the hydrology department division. I don't know what their schedule is either, but we would like to consult with them and the city engineer, as well as also having these meetings with the applicant. So I would like all of that to be considered. Thank you.
Okay, this is Maggie Gould. I think, Mr. Cadena, there is a water availability statement that is underway. Do you have any idea about the timeline for that?
Unfortunately, I do not. This is Christiana with Water Authority. Unfortunately, I do not.
Okay. This is Maggie Gould again. So ballpark, not even like a 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, it's really.
This is Christiana with the Water Authority. 2 weeks to be safe.
Okay, so that would be the minimum you would think. Okay. Regarding the rest of the issues that need to be addressed, and this is Maggie Gould again, sorry. Any other comments on that timeline and from the applicant as well?
Just pausing to see if anybody else has any comments on that before I take a stab at it. So clearly we would probably shoot for a meeting with Parks and Rec and Open Space Division staff for not next week, but early the following week. I don't know. I think the big question from in terms of planning is if that is enough time to get an answer or a response regarding the plat requirement. And then, of course, once we get that response, that will dictate how we proceed. If the requirement to have a concurrent platting action is not required at this time, consistent with our review of the IDO, then I think that we could be ready to be back on the agenda by either. Well, I think the 9th is probably the earliest. Since next week is Thanksgiving, And then, so I would, I guess I would shoot for the 9th and see if we have resolution to those issues by then. That's the
This is Maggie Gould. Ms. Sommerfeld, does that feel like a reasonable amount of time for coordination with your department?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. I think that is tight, but if you want to schedule it and then we would defer if we couldn't set something up by then. But my opinion would be that, that would be a short amount of time.
This is Maggie Gould again. Would it make more sense then to defer this case to the 16th to allow time for Water Authority and for Parks to get what they need?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I think that would be easier for us.
Okay. Mr. Strozier, is that acceptable to you?
I think that's acceptable.
Okay. Then do we have a motion to defer PR 20-18001402 to the meeting of December 16th?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I move to defer item number 10 to December 16th meeting.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And this is Maggie Gould with Planning, I approve. So project PR 2018-001402, SI 2020-001164 is deferred to the DRB meeting of December 16th. Thank you all of you for your patience.
Thank you very much.
And we will let Chair Wolfley back in and we will move on to the next item.
Thank you all.
Okay, Ms. Gould, are we ready for item 11?
Okay. This is Maggie Gould. Yes, Madam Chair, we are ready for item 11.
Okay. And we've got Mr. Morrow. And I guess.
I believe Ms. Sanchez has rejoined us and.
Okay. Oh, there. Okay, I see Ms. Sanchez now. Okay, great. Thank you, Ms. Gould, for taking that case. We are now on item number 11, which is PR 2018-1501, Preliminary Final Plat SD 2020-77, Sidewalk Variance VA 2019-290, and Street Variance VA 2019-289 for Montaño Family Homes, LLC. At 712 Montaño Road Northwest. It looks like Isaacson and Arfman is the applicant.
Yes, this is Orpha Nilsson Weber with Isaacson and Arfman. Great.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Nilsson Weber, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and present the update on your case?
This is an 8-lot subdivision located south of Montaño, west of 4th Street. It used to be shown as a 5-lot subdivision, and when we were heard in June this year, we were told that we needed variances for the lot sizes based on the contextual standards. But we have since found an exception in the IDO to the effect that if it decreases the existing non-conformity of the surrounding lots, it would be acceptable to leave the lot sizes as is. So we don't have signatures from the dry utility companies yet, but we would like to just go ahead and get any additional comments at this point.
Okay. Thank you. And depending on those signatures, they may not necessarily hold you up today, but for your final sign off. Let's go to water. Let me stop 1 second. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak on item number 11? Okay, not seeing anyone. Let's go to Water Authority.
Hello, so this is Chris Diana with the Water Authority. We had discussed, we had some ex parte communication yesterday regarding the preliminary plat and offsite easement to serve an existing lot A1C to the south. And you were able to find an offsite easement, which is great. That is a larger property to the south that may be developed for residential, and having a loop line is a good thing, which could be provided with extension of water through your property. And I want to discuss that with you, as that may affect your, obviously the easement on the plat should be extended to your southern property line, as well as extension of 8-inch water line throughout your site. And also, if you could please label the lot on sheet 3 of 3, that would be helpful with regard to the sidewalk variance and the street variance. I'll defer to transportation. Thank you.
May I ask a question? This is also Nilsson Weber. So the easement would be extended. It would be a 20-foot waterline easement only. That would be on lot 5, correct?
This is Chris Bannon with the Water Authority. You had stated yesterday that the manhole depth at your terminus would be shallow. So that could cause a concern, given that we have the easement to the west to 9th Street, that offsite public water line and sewer line easement. That seems to be a good approach for conveyance. So yes, a water line would be the only extension, and a 20-foot easement would be the minimum width. Thank you.
And I have one more question. This is also Nilsson Weber. So do we need to upsize the waterline the entire way from Montaño? Is that your finding, or is a 6-inch sufficient?
Well, you have, this is Chris Cannon with Water Authority. You have a 6-inch transition to a 4. So that 4-inch would need to be upsized. It needs to be a continuous diameter. But given that it can then tie west to 9th, I think it would be good with the 6. And that would help with the water quality for your development.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Cadena, this is Chair Wolfley. Where does that leave this plat then?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. This plat would need to reflect additional easement, and the infrastructure list would need to be revised slightly.
Okay, thank you. Code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Code Enforcement reviewed this project for compliance with the IDO and has no objections at this time.
Okay, thank you. Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation Department. Low density residential development does not trigger street tree requirements on Montaño, so no objection to the request.
Thank you. Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has an approved grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of October 20th, 2020. We have no objection.
Transportation.
This is Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation. Transportation has no objection to any of the actions presented, and a work order will be needed for the roadway improvements. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Wolfenberger, so that work order, how does that fit in with the infrastructure list?
They'll be required to go through work order as part of the infrastructure list requirements, but that's the separate action.
Okay.
And transportation has no objection.
All right. And do you have items on the infrastructure list?
I think the infrastructure list includes the items for the roadway easement.
Okay. I was trying to see if it was Water Authority plus others or, okay. And then planning comments.
This is Jay Rodenbach. We need the utility and MAPCA signatures added to the plat, as well as a copy of the DXF file approval email from AGIS.
Okay. Thank you, planning. Ms. Nielsen-Weber, do you have some thoughts here?
Well, I am hoping that we will get all the signature by the 9th. So I would like to defer until the 9th.
Of December?
Yes.
Okay. So let me clarify one thing. We can approve this ahead of you having utility and AMAFCA signatures. So I think the things that are holding you up from an approval without, you know, those can be delegated items per me as chair. But the thing holding you up today would be the infrastructure list revisions and the work with Water Authority.
Yes, and the update to the plat to show the easement.
Yeah. Okay. So does December 9th still sound correct? Your best shot?
Yes, because there is no DRB next week, right?
Yes, and there is one on December 2nd. I wanted to make sure you knew all your options. So you could come back on December 2nd, or you could come back on December 9th.
Let's leave it for December 9th, please.
Okay. Thank you for that. Is there a motion to defer item number 11 to December 9th?
So this is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. I move to defer item number 11 to December 9th meeting.
DRB members, I need a second.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I second.
Thank you. Okay, please vote.
Chris Cano, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Dermihill, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 11, PR 2018-1501, preliminary final plat SD 2020-77, sidewalk variance 2019-290, and street variance 2019-289 to the December 9th meeting of the DRB. Okay, thank you, Ms. Nielsen-Weber.
Thank you.
All right, item number 12 is withdrawn. Item number 13 was deferred to December 9th. So we are on item 14, which is PR 2019-2973,